Welcome to Scripture Beneath the Surface, an outreach of Preparation Ministries, a presentation to encourage God's people to embrace a life of holiness and to move away from the worldly lifestyle of today's church. It is our hope that you will come to understand the message of 2 Corinthians 6, 17, and 18, which tells us to come out from among them and be a separate people. We bring this to you because we believe Jesus is coming soon. Now here is our host, Randy Smith.
Hello. Thanks for being with us. Today, I'd like to bring you another portion of our prophecy series called Image of the Beast. This is the seventh week of a 10-week series which gives some insight into the concepts of the beast of Revelation. It includes information on the image of the beast, the mark of the beast, the number 666, and also explains how these prophecies are being fulfilled, not in the coming future, but right now, in these current last days. If any portion of this series interests you, please feel free to contact us and ask for the complete series. It is contained on 4 CDs and also includes the written transcript in case you would like to read it separately or follow along with the CD. Listen at the end of each program for our contact information. And, by the way, this study series, like any of our material, is free for the asking. No donation is necessary. So let's continue with Part 7 of Image of the Beast. Now, the next thing we have to look at is why God's people receive a mark only in their forehead. But Satan's people can receive the mark of ownership either in their forehead or in their right hand. Refer back to our earlier discussion of Ecclesiastes 10:2 concerning a wise man having his heart in his right hand. Remember that we discussed this in regards to the parable of giving offerings, where the left hand was not supposed to know what the right hand was doing. If you remember the discussion, the reason that the writer of Ecclesiastes said that a wise man's heart is at his right hand and a fool's heart is at his left hand is because the right hand, or dominant hand, takes things more often than the left hand. Also, remember that this means that if the right hand is assigned to care for the things of the heart, the things of the spirit man, then the heart will get fed more than the fleshly man, which represents that part of man that is concerned with the things of the world. So, if the right hand, which is taking much more often, is feeding and caring for the heart, then the heart will be strong, and the carnal man, that man of flesh, will be weaker. And here's what this implies. The man who claims to be a Christian, but takes more often of the things of the world than he takes for the things of the heart, will be deceived. He may call himself a Christian, but by feeding his carnal man more than his spirit man, he will be exposed for what he really is. Now, think of the forehead as indicating the place on the body that the mind occupies, and that the mark is placed there because, with the mind, a conscious decision has been made. If you stop to think about it for a minute, that's what Christians do who will be designated as sons of God. They make a conscious decision to serve Jesus Christ and will be marked in the forehead with the mark or name of the Lord. Now, think of the right hand as the location on the body where the mark of ownership is placed when the right hand made the decision to serve Satan, even though the mind was claiming to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Yes, I know the right hand can't make a mental decision, but what Revelation 13:16 is saying is that the mark of the beast must be placed there because it is the location that reveals the person's true choice. The mind says they choose Jesus Christ, but their hand is continually taking of the world, which is not going to help the spirit man. The person is going to strengthen their carnal man because the things of the world don't strengthen the spirit. They weaken it. The right hand, meaning the hand that is dominant, that hand which takes more often than the other hand, is so busy taking of the world that the things of the Spirit don't come into the heart enough to keep the heart healthy. The carnal man is healthy and robust, built up from all the stimulations of the flesh that Satan tempts us with. But the spirit man is weak and has fallen down. The flesh reigns over the spirit, yet the man claims to be a born-again spirit being. Not so. You can't be a born-again spirit being while you're busy taking of the world all the time. Your heart will starve to death. And if your heart starves to death, your lips can claim to be a Christian all they want to, but your heart will still be dead. You have to see the symbolism of the right-hand-left-hand concept in order to see that there has to be a right-hand designation for the mark of the beast as well as a forehead designation. When you see this, you will understand Matthew 7:21-23, where it says, "Not everyone that says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, and in your name have cast out devils, and in your name have done many wonderful works?' And then I will profess to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity.'" It is only those who reach out as much as possible for the things of God and as little as possible for the things of this world who will end up having a true heart for God. The rest will be designated as liars, for their hand reveals what they really love. There is another set of scriptures which confirm this concept. Look in Zechariah 5:1-4. These four verses describe a curse which goes forth against two kinds of people. The two kinds are those who are thieves and those who swear falsely by the name of the Lord. To help with our understanding of this, we must also read John 10:1-9, where Jesus speaks the parable of the sheepfold. He explains that he, Jesus, is the door to the sheepfold, and that all who enter must enter by him. He explains that thieves try to climb up and enter by some other way. This represents all those who try to gain heaven through their own power and not by trusting in Jesus Christ. The curse of Zechariah 5 applies to these people. The others who are under the curse are the people who swear allegiance to Jesus Christ, but according to Scripture, they swear falsely. These are the people who claim to be Christians, but the way they live their lives proves that they are actually children of the devil. These are those who will receive the mark of the beast in their right hands, for their right hands prove that the confession which they make with their mouths, saying that Jesus is their Lord and Master, is actually false. Their swearing of allegiance to Jesus is a false swearing. The two-edged sword mentioned in Revelation 1:16, which proceeds out of the mouth of Christ, is also representative of this concept in that the sword has two edges with which to kill. It kills both those who are the evident enemies of God and also those who claim to be on God's side, but actually are enemies of God and disguised as Christians. So there are three groups of people who will receive the name, number, or mark which designates ownership. One group will be designated in their foreheads as belonging to Satan. Another group will be designated in their foreheads as belonging to Jesus Christ. Another group, the third group, will be designated as belonging to Satan, but will have the mark placed in their right hand instead of in their forehead, because that's what demonstrates their true choice of who they will serve. It wasn't a conscious decision they made, but an unconscious one. They don't even know they have chosen to serve Satan. The devil is very good at deception, even though most Christians believe that it is only other people who can be deceived, never themselves? Think about this. Everyone, to some extent, is deceived. Otherwise, we would be perfect, and we're not. So, ask yourself this question. In what ways am I deceived? In what areas does Satan have me mixed up? Of course, the answer is very simple. You can't know how you are deceived, because if you knew how you were deceived, then you wouldn't be deceived. The thing we have to accept, whether we like it or not, is that deception is Satan's game and we are his target. The image of the beast is Satan's greatest deception, for it makes even so-called Christians accept the image, and they never even realize they are worshiping the beast. They think the beast represents a country, or nation, or conglomerate group of nations, but never realize that it is the brute animal nature in Satan and the brute animal nature in humans that destroys the spirit man. That's why man must be born again as a spirit man, and why the man of flesh must be crucified daily. There is only two choices in this world. Either choose to serve the God of heaven, or choose to serve the God of this world. Either accept the rewards of God, which are spiritual wonders, which last for all eternity, or accept the rewards of Satan, which are physical wonders, which only last for a very, very short time until eternal torment takes their place. The choice is yours, but Satan has put his best weapon on the block for these last days. Churchgoers are dying like flies because they are deceived. They don't even know what has hit them, especially our children. In Matthew 24:19, it warns us that the end-time tribulation will be especially devastating for those who are in the womb and for those who are newborns. Those in the womb symbolize those people who are very close to accepting Jesus Christ as Savior, but have not yet made the commitment to serving Him. Those who are newborn, who are still nursing on the milk of the Word, are also in great danger. This symbolizes new Christians who are still being milk-fed and have yet to become mature. They are extremely susceptible to Satan's lies and temptations, for they have not yet been established firmly in the faith. This can also refer to Christians who have been in the church for years, but who also are still sucking the milk instead of eating meat. Well, I hope you're beginning to see at least some of this. Anyway, if you're still with me, let's go on to explain the number of the beast. In Revelation 13:18, it says, "Here is wisdom. Let him that has understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of man, and the number is 666. Now, try hard to get your mind off all the teaching that tries to figure out some alphabetical code that fits some man's name. Understanding of these scriptures does not come by some gimmick, but it comes to those who have the wisdom and understanding of God. It comes to those who have their spiritual ears open. The original Greek does not imply that a specific man has a number of 666, but rather that any man's number is 666. It is the number of man, period. If you're going to understand the 666, you're going to have what Revelation 13:18 says, wisdom and understanding. There is no logical diagram for the discerning of spiritual things. Remember what we just spoke about in the previous section, the reference of 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Codes are not even remotely comparable to spiritual discernment. Codes are mathematical. Revelation knowledge comes by the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to explain this as plainly as possible. The number 666 is made up of three sixes, 1 6 for each part of man's triune being. the designation of 666 implies that there are three witnesses to the fact that the person is a servant of Satan and therefore deserving of death. Let me explain. First, let's talk about why there are three sixes, and then we'll discuss what the number six means itself. Man is a triune entity, like God is. Man has a soul, that part of him that represents the true inner man. The soul is who the man really is, down deep inside where nobody else can see. A soul is the part that flesh and blood humans cannot see and therefore cannot be known except by the soul itself or by the man's spirit, which searches out the deep hidden things within him and then moves the body to act or speak accordingly. That's why when someone looks at you and says that they know you, you understand that they only know you to the extent they have seen your true self displayed outwardly by your words and actions. But no one really knows another person like the person knows themselves. The second part of man, his body, is the part of him that handles the words and actions. The body is the image of the man that people actually see, which displays some of what is in his soul. Even then, they still don't know what the soul of the person is really like, except according to what they hear and see as the body acts and speaks. This requires the third part of man, the spirit, to enter into the picture. And as I just mentioned, the spirit of man searches the heart of man and acts as liaison to the body. The spirit of man is the power of the human, for it moves the body to act and speak. It only does this according to the soul's inner convictions and beliefs. Man's triune existence is like God's triune existence. God's soul is called the Father, that part of him which is who he really is. His image is called the Son, that part of God which displays what God wants displayed. The third part of God is his Spirit, which is called the Holy Spirit, which searches out the deep things of God and reveals them to his body. But there is one clear difference here. The Spirit of God moves his body. That body was Jesus Christ, and that body is also the church, God's children, who are now the body of Christ, and therefore the image on earth that displays what God wants displayed to the world. But unless God's children allow the Holy Spirit to lead them, God will not be known in the earth. Man was made in the image of God, also being triune, three parts which make up one being. And because each triune part can be recognized and described independently, each part can also give expert witness as to whether the man was a child of God or a child of Satan. When the man stands before Jesus Christ on the day of judgment, there will have to be witnesses which testify as to his guilt or righteousness in order to condemn him to the second death or to reward him with eternal life. And because the death is the second death rather than the physical death, and the righteousness is rewarded with heaven's eternity, the testimony must be by witnesses which can accurately testify concerning the man. The testimony won't be concerned with physical things because God looks on the heart. Therefore, the witnesses which stand for or against the man must be witnesses that can give testimony to whether the man's heart was good or evil. Hearsay evidence will be useless at this time. The witness of friends or acquaintances will be useless. References from notable people will be useless. The only testimony that will stand in this final court of judgment is the testimony as to the condition of the man's heart. And only those witnesses that can give this kind of testimony will be allowed to testify. Because of this, man will give three witnesses of himself. It will be the testimony of triune man that seals his fate. In the scope of the number 666, man's conviction of serving Satan deserves death. However, the Bible is very clear in telling us that a man cannot be convicted and put to death unless there are two or three witnesses. No man can be put to death on the basis of only one witness. Deuteronomy 17:6 says, "At the mouth of two witnesses or three witnesses shall he that is worthy of death be put to death, but at the mouth of one witness he shall not be put to death." This is an absolute fundamental truth, for it applies for all time. It even applies to the testimony as to the deity of Jesus Christ. In John 5, verses 31 through 37, Jesus shows us that even his own witness of himself is not true unless it is accompanied by the other two witnesses, the Father and the Holy Spirit. He even states that John the Baptist's testimony concerning him is not acceptable. The reason for this is that John is a man, and the testimony of deity must be by deity. In the same sense, in order for man to be condemned, it can't be just by the testimony of Jesus, because the testimony that man is wicked and deserving of eternal death must be by witnesses that are qualified to testify to the fact of man's guilt or innocence. The three witnesses that can testify to this is the three parts of the man: his soul, his body, and his spirit. And just a note here, if you can comprehend the concept of two or three witnesses, you will be able to apply it to Zechariah 4 and Revelation 11 and be able to see that the two witnesses that these verses speak of, which stand before the Lord of all the earth, is Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, the two who reveal the Word of God, which is God's witness of Himself. We will discuss this in more depth later. Now, as to the testimony of the soul, body, and spirit, it can be described this way. Think again about John 5, 31 through 37, where Jesus said that his testimony of himself alone was not true. He needed the witness of the Father and the Holy Spirit, and coupled then with his own testimony, he had three witnesses that gave testimony to his absolute perfection, that he was indeed the actual manifestation, the actual outward physical showing of God. In the same sense, the testimony from man will come from three parts of him. First, from his soul, as the portion of the entity that is who the person really is. Second, from his spirit, which searches the deep things of the soul and moves the body to speak and act. And third, from his body, which manifests, which outwardly shows what comes to it from the soul by the spirit. In essence, it's like this. Everything you do is written in the books that will judge you. If you sin in the flesh, there will be something down deep inside you, in your soul, that likes to sin. If this desire for sin is greater than your desire to serve God and be obedient to Him, then your soul is a testimony against you, for it loves the things of the world more than the things of God. And because your spirit searches the deep hidden things of man, just as the Holy Spirit seeks the deep hidden things of God, your spirit will find that which it agrees with. When your spirit is in agreement with evil and not in agreement with the Holy Spirit of God, then your spirit will move your flesh to speak or act accordingly. Your spirit, then, is a testimony of your wickedness within you also. This concept is found in Proverbs 20:27, where it is stated that the spirit of man reveals what evil is within the carnal man. The third and final testimony comes from your body as it acts and speaks, revealing to men and to God what the soul feels and what the spirit is in tune with. Together, these three parts of man have testified of the wickedness of man, and he will be condemned. This is why there are three sixes.
Thank you for joining us for Scripture Beneath the Surface. Today's program was a portion of the study series concerning the image of the beast, the mark of the beast, and the number 666. If you would like a copy of the complete study series, just contact us and ask for the message, Image of the Beast. It is a 4-CD series and also includes the written 50-page transcript. And as always, there is no charge for any of our material. We believe God will supply our needs as He sees fit. There are several ways to obtain our messages. Just contact us in the way which is easiest for you. If you are comfortable with computers, you may download our messages from our website. The website address is preparationministries.net. Preparation Ministries is all one word. That's preparationministries.net. However, we would be happy to send the CDs and transcripts directly to you if that would be easier. Our postal address is Preparation Ministries, P.O. Box 475, Olivet, Michigan 49076. That's Preparation Ministries, P.O. Box 475, Olivet, Michigan 49076. We also have an email address. It is preparationministries@gmail.com. That's preparationministries, all one word, @gmail.com. Or you may contact us by telephone. The number is area code 269-763-2114. That's 269-763-2114. Thank you again for listening to Scripture Beneath the Surface, and may God bless.